Hello, everyone. We're back after a very, very long time. It's Turn It Off with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hello, Rob.
You can tell this has all worked out perfectly. No, we're back because tonight we watched, part of, one-fourth of It Follows, David Robert Mitchell's 2014, I think, brilliant, creepy-as-hell horror movie. About a curse that is passed along from person to person via sex. And the way it works is the person with the curse is followed, hence the title, by some sort of mysterious being. We're not exactly sure what it is, although we're pretty sure what it does to you once it gets you. And it follows you forever, basically. And no one can see this thing as it follows you. It takes different forms. And the way you get rid of it is by having sex with someone else. And that is basically the opening to this movie, as our main character, Micah Monroe, that's the actress. She has sex with a guy, and he passes this curse onto her. And then we see her dealing with it. Now, you didn't get far into this movie. You asked me to pause it at 27 minutes, and then you said, no, you're not ready to continue with this movie. So I'm not even going to ask anymore whether you liked it or not, because I know you didn't. You don't like any of these movies.
Nope.
But it's very – I think this is a genuinely scary movie.
It is.
And you obviously felt the same way.
Yes.
So what were your thoughts of the 27 minutes that you saw of It Follows?
I think the music was perfect.
Music is superb.
It's
very scary.
It feels like something is following that person.
Yeah. You know something is bad when the music kicks in.
Yeah. Like, if to convey the feeling that somebody's being followed with practically just the music is, what an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You were genuinely scared by it.
Yeah, and I didn't, I felt like with every minute we were going to get to a point where I was going to embarrass myself by screaming out loud, so.
Right. But it's not, from what you saw of it, it's not cheap scares, you know? Like, it's not.
I don't care if they're cheap or expensive.
No. I'm not.
I don't want to be
scared. No, I'm not saying you should continue with it, because the whole point of the thing is you can turn it off when you want, when we did. What I'm saying is it's not just things jumping out of you. It's mood. That's what's the scary part, is that it's dread. Mm-hmm. And that, when I heard about this movie, because I didn't know anything about this movie, and it kind of came out of nowhere. The guy that directed it, David Robert Mitchell, who I mentioned, only did one previous movie. And that's not a horror movie. It's like a kind of like a dramedy about teenagers called The Myth of the American Sleepover. And this movie kind of came out of nowhere, and all these critics were like, oh my God, this thing, who is this guy? And I took your nephew, I took Alex to see it.
I cannot believe you took my nephew to see it.
Because I was like, this sounds really great. So we went and saw it, and I loved it. He really liked it.
In 2014.
2014. So he would have been like 15, I guess, when he saw it. Which is the age of most of the – I mean, they're probably like 16, 17 in this movie. Mm-hmm. I guess so. But like yeah, I mean, this people really were like – it's got a very 80s feel. Mm-hmm. It's got a very John Carpenter who directed The Thing and Halloween, because it's got this just this feeling of unremitting
dread.
But that's what I like about it, because like I said, it's easy to get
– why do some people like that feeling of dread?
It's easy – well, because for some people it – gets that out of you. It gets it out of your daily life if you get to experience it in the safe confines of a movie. So that's a lot of the appeal of horror movies.
But crazy.
But like I said, it's easy to get scared of things just going, you know, jumping out, turning a corner. Mm-hmm. But other than the opening scene with the girl where we see the one girl get whammied, and even then we don't see her get it. We just, like, we see the after effects, which are pretty grisly, with her leg bent the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great.
But after that, though, like, there's none of that. It's just creepiness. Like, and it was funny because during the scene when they go out on the date, and he's like, the girl in the yellow dress, right there. And he's pointing to nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets freaked out. You're like, uh-oh, something's uh-huh. wrong. Then when they go into that really romantic abandoned lot to have mm-hmm. sex, and he starts digging through the trunk, and you are like, uh-oh. And I was desperately hoping that you would not ask me to turn it off before
right.
then, because that scene looks like a slasher movie. Like, mm-hmm. you're getting the idea. If you don't know who the main star is of the movie, and she's the star, mm-hmm. you think that, like, he's going to just kill her. And I could see why you wouldn't want to watch that. And mm-hmm. I was like,
I didn't want to watch her getting drugged.
Well, she gets chloroforms her. But I mean, it's not like it's a slasher movie where he just hacks her up and it's something violent. It's actually got something more to it.
And then she's tied helpless to a chair.
Yeah, he's got to explain this whole thing about the curse.
No, sir, it's very
scary. You noticed early on how, like, the parent, there's like no parents in these movies, and we see them, like, we only see the one mother, like, from the nose up at one point talking.
I saw her sitting at the dining room table briefly, looking out the window.
They live in that's one of the things that you won't discover because you're not seeing the rest of this movie.
That's right.
Is that they seem to live. One of the other unusual, I'm doing all the talking because, you know, we only saw 27 minutes of the movie, but one of the things that is a hallmark of this movie is that these kids, the main girl, her sister, and then her friend, and the boy who's clearly got a crush on her,
Paul,
they live in like a weird parentless world. Like, the parents just don't ever figure into these stories at all. And I thought that was part of the mood of it, like, that these kids are alone. Like, they have to handle, like, because eventually, I'll tell you a little bit of what happens. In case anybody who hasn't seen this movie and you don't want it spoiled
Spoiler.
For you. Yeah. If you don't want to spoil, this movie's on Netflix, so most of you probably have Netflix at this point. So if you haven't seen it, go see it. Don't listen to me reveal anything about it, because I think it's great and you should watch it. But going forward, like, eventually the other kids buy into what's happening to her, and they see that it's real. Mm-hmm. Because right after that scene that you turned off, she gets attacked. And
yes, I knew that was coming.
Not like physically, but like the thing, whatever it is that's following them, like, they realize that it's true, and mm-hmm. they spend the whole movie trying to figure out how to
stop it.
And there's all different things. And then, do you want me to tell you what happens at the end of the movie?
Sure.
Basically, okay. Essentially, there's a whole scene at a beach where they try and capture it, which doesn't work. And then there's another scene in an abandoned pool where they try to, like, drown it. That's another thing too about this movie. Like, it's in this weird, desolate suburban hellscape where it's like there's lots of empty buildings and, like, everything looks kind
more
of
more than their share.
Yeah, you know, everything seems kind of lonely. And again, we live in this. I'm getting off track a little, but, like, we live in this. The movie is set in this kind of weird nether world where they don't seem to have cell phones, and they're watching, like, old movies on TV.
What was that thing that looked like a compact?
Right. But yet the girl has, like, this weird little e-reader that looks like a clamshell, which looks like technology we don't even have yet. So it exists in this strange time of, like, well, when – because all the cars are kind of old.
Yeah.
Like, the car that the guy has is kind of a 70s car.
I thought we were
car.
In the 80s or
– Right. It's,
so.
They never reveal – you never see anybody with a cell phone. So you're never really sure what period this is. But anyway – what essentially they go and they try and find the guy that gave her the curse. Uh-huh. He gets killed. I forget how he gets killed, but he gets killed. Ooh. And we eventually Paul mm-hmm. Voluntarily sleeps with
her
so he can take on the curse, because uh-huh. that's how much he loves her.
Aww.
He takes on the curse. And the final shot of the movie, I forget exactly how we get to this point where we find out that, like, the curse is still on her as well. And the final shot is him and her just walking in a neighborhood, and way off in the distance, you can see two of the little specters just following them in the daylight. And that's the end of the movie. And it's like, they'll never be free of it, because, like, mm-hmm. unless they choose to go do it to somebody else, and they realize they can't, because that's the wrong thing to do, mm-hmm. is to give this to somebody else.
And plus, it seems like it doesn't actually get rid of it, because the guy that gave it to her is dead.
Right. I forget all the rules of it, mm-hmm. but that's the final shot is very haunting, because it's this whole notion of, like, well, of course, you know, metaphorically, is this death? Death stalks us all in one way or the other. That's more literal in this movie, but is it AIDS? Is it – what is it? Like, it's – but that final shot of the fact that they will never be rid of it is really creepy. And mm-hmm. it's a really effective – horror yeah. movie that gets all of its scares from mood and dread, and not from violence and gore or just jump scares. That's why I like about it so much. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do, to make a movie that's effective like that. I like all the wide shots. Like, everything, you seem kind of unset. Things are, like, unsettled. You feel like you're not secure exactly, because he shoots it in these wide screen vistas. So I think it's a really great, really great movie. I loved it when I saw the theater, and just watching it again here, the first 27 minutes at least.
I think I would have been really disappointed to make it through all that, to find out that they're not rid of it anyway, yeah. that they didn't overcome the problem. I would have been upset.
But the reason I did think that you might get something out of it is that you have said you don't like horror movies about people being mean to one another. And this is actually a bunch of friends trying to
work together
and solve her problem. Like, they love her so much mm-hmm. that they put their own lives at risk to save her life. That was the thing I thought maybe you might be able to get out of it, because it is about people being okay. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah. No,
it's not people killing each other. It's about people teenagers mm-hmm. trying. They love each other that much that they're trying to help one another. And I thought that you would find that pleasant if you could get through all the horror stuff.
No.
But okay. So again, it's a horror movie. It's a scary horror movie, and mm-hmm. it's a very scary horror. I think it's one of the best horror movies I've seen in a long time. This and The Babadook are like the two.
It's very scary, yeah. So, you know.
There you go. But you only got through 27 minutes. Maybe we'll watch more of it.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. All right. Okay. Well, I guess, you know, this is, I did all the talking in this one. I don't know. Let's just expand this out. You would agree that this was a well-directed movie, right?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe we will see another movie by this guy, because his first movie, which I mentioned, is not a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And he has a new movie coming out,
yes.
which is like a comedy mystery thriller.
Okay.
And maybe called Under the Silver Lake. And so maybe we will go see that, because I think this guy is super talented. This David Robert Mitchell guy. Right? David Robert Mitchell? I think that's his name. He is super talented, but we could see his other movies because they're not horror movies.
Okay.
So maybe we'll do that. Because when I see somebody who's really talented, like really makes good movies, I want to try and support them and go see their other movies. So I'm going to do that.
And his name sounds like Robert Mitchum.
And there you go. That's always bonus points. So. But again, he's not a horror movie. So, okay, well, we tried. I actually offered you two movies to pick from. I said a supernatural one or one where it's not supernatural, where it's just going to get people, just regular people. And you picked the supernatural one. So
maybe too scary.
Maybe we'll try the other one at some point down the line.
Maybe.
Hopefully it won't be so long between episodes. So
hopefully it will.
Oh, man. You're disappointing your fans, babe.
My fans don't want to see me eaten alive by this, the fear. Oh, no.
Okay.
This leaves me feeling icky.
Okay. We'll watch something comforting now. To.
Well, we get one Piper for sure.
Oh, you're going to watch. Oh, yeah. That's Tracy's big aperitif, which is the
cleansing.
Isn't that what an aperitif does?
I'm just saying it's.
Yeah. Palate cleanser. I thought that's what an aperitif is, was that it cleans your palate.
I don't even know. I thought it was an appetizer.
Anyway. Oh, maybe. I could be wrong. Anyway, yeah, no, Piper, the 5-minute Pixar short about the little bird in the beach, that helps you get over
it. Now that I highly recommend,
right.
Because it's so sweet and cute. And that little, I feel every time I watch it, I feel like it's the first time I watched it. It's, oh.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Recommend.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Piper, yes. So, if you enjoyed It Follows, you'll also enjoy Pixar's Piper, about the funny bird that gets caught up in the water.
Or if you need a little lift.
You need a little lift.
Or a little palate cleanser.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, like I said, I feel bad that I've unnerved you, but I also know that that means it's an effective horror movie, and that's a good thing, because I don't want to show you bad horror movies, I want to show you good horror movies. And It Follows is a very good horror movie. So,
I have to say, you know, as far as it was horrifying. So,
right.
Yeah.
They've talked about the studio that owns it has dabbled with a sequel, which is like, you're going to ruin it. You're going to don't ruin it. Just
right.
You don't explain it. Don't.
Need two of those.
Yeah. Well, he's all right.
Just Different perspectives.
Que sera, sera. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for listening and all the kind words you said about the show. We're sorry we haven't been able to do more. Tracy's not sorry we haven't been able to do more. But I'm sorry we haven't been able to do more between now and then. But anyway, if you haven't seen It Follows and you like a good, creepy, harm, it's definitely rated R because it does have some violence in it and it is very intense. So it's not for little kids, but it's... But it also is a really, really good horror movie. I don't know anyone who has seen this movie except for you that doesn't think it is a really great creepy horror movie. So
it's creepy. Yeah. It's definitely creepy.
And it, like I said, it's on Netflix. It's been on Netflix for a while, so I don't think it's going anywhere. But give it a shot, everybody. So okay. Well, I guess that's going to do it for Turn It Off with Tracy. Thank you once again, babe. Thank you for dinner. We had a nice anniversary dinner out. What better way to celebrate the anniversary, our 15th anniversary, than to watch It Follows?
Right? Let me see if I could think of what better way.
You'll think of something.
I think you owe me.
I don't think I do. So.
No.
Okay. Anybody, thanks so much for listening. Leave us comments on the website, firewaterpodcast.com. And thank you, as always, Tracy, for humoring me. I appreciate it in life and in this particular context.
If you only knew.
All right. Okay. All right. I think about it up. So we will see everybody later. And until then, I love you.
I love you.
Bye.
So this is the opening shot of the film. We're starting with this sort of slow, kind of calm, objective shot of this sort of middle class neighborhood. You know, we see this girl running in fear. We're not really sure what it is that she's running from, what she's scared of. Maybe a play on a bit of a horror cliche. Some of this, right down to the wardrobe, she's in high heels, which I've had some people sort of point out, questioning, does that make a lot of sense? And the answer is no. It's definitely a bit of a play on the conventions of horror, all the way back to referencing women in peril from even like De Palma movies, for instance. You'll notice throughout this sequence, we did this in one shot. It's playing on this idea of us being sort of colder observers of this terrible thing happening, and that we're on the outside of it.
What's the matter? What's going on?
So it was definitely a tricky shot to do. I think the sun was setting. This was dusk, and running around and getting the timing right with the equipment that we had was very tricky. But we managed to do it, and I'm happy with it. It was a fun thing to try to do.